My guest at this time is former Virginia Attorney General Ken Cuccinelli. He is now president of the Senate Conservatives Fund, a group dedicated to electing strong conservatives to the U.S. Senate. He joins me now to discuss reports that Senate Republican leaders are making significant concessions in order to craft a bill that can pass the Senate with its slim GOP majority. And Ken, thanks very much for being with us.
Good to be with you.
All of this, of course, is predicated on passing the bill through reconciliation, which would require a simple majority rather than the 60 votes to cut off debate. In the past few weeks here, we've seen reports, for example, that Senate Republicans are inclined to allow a more generous Medicaid expansion than the House bill would provide. There are reports that it would largely embrace Obamacare's existing approach towards those with pre-existing conditions. And now we see some reports that the Senate bill may allow funding for Planned Parenthood, which the House bill does not, because people like Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski don't like that. So Mitch McConnell's been very tight-lipped on the details here. Nothing official has been released. But what are you hearing and how concerned are you about these reported concessions?
Well, I certainly am concerned about them. And, you know, you can give up two Republicans, assuming no Democrats join you. Though some of these Senate Democrats are going to be under intense pressure in 2018. They're from states like West Virginia, Missouri, Montana, North Dakota, not places friendly to Obamacare. I wouldn't exclude the possibility of getting Democrat votes just on the matter of survival. we'll see how that all plays out. But I am concerned anytime Mitch McConnell is talking the way he is. A deal to Mitch McConnell, to you and me, means capitulation, means surrender. I remember root and branch. We're going to pull it out, root and branch. That being old Senator McConnell, who paid for over 30,000 anti-Obamacare ads in October alone for his reelection in 2014. Apparently never had any intention of keeping those promises, and I'm worried we're seeing the fruit of that now under the guise of, he'll blame other members of his caucus. But the truth of the matter is, they ought to put a real repeal bill up and have a vote. If you lose Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins, that's still 50. And Rand Paul will vote for a real repeal. He just won't vote for the other junk. And then the vice president can break that tie. So, you know, that ought to be the target. And I would point out, Lisa Murkowski has been against funding Planned Parenthood during her campaigns and has viciously fought for it after she's elected. This is not the first time for Senator Murkowski to lie to Alaskans about this and to flip back to her pro-abortion position, which is outrageous for anybody who's allowed to be a chairman of a committee in a Republican majority Senate.
Mr. Cuccinelli, when it comes to this debate, you and I talked about the original House bill and why you said that was unacceptable. Ultimately, changes were made, and a lot of the conservatives from the House Freedom Caucus got on board. What needs to be in the Senate bill to make this acceptable? And if, in fact, these reports are true about Medicaid expansion, about Planned Parenthood funding, about pre-existing conditions requirements and so forth, will that be an acceptable bill?
Well, if we get to an insurance situation instead of a mandate situation, then the bill may be okay. But if you're having community rating, if you're forcing pre-existing conditions, then it's not insurance any longer. It's a welfare program, which is what Obamacare is right now. And until they move it from a welfare program to insurance, where risk is assessed and priced, the market can determine where people land, then it's not going to be an acceptable bill. And it isn't going to lower premiums, critically. All the while, Obamacare is crashing around their ears. It's amazing. How destroyed does this concept have to be until they reject it? This is classic government. If it's broke, do more of what you did before, as if that will work the second time. And it never does, and yet they keep doing it. The very definition of insanity.
We've had four election cycles since this passed, so everybody in the Senate has campaigned on this issue in one way or another.
Yep.
Now we're hearing that, well, it's more complicated. You can't just do repeal and replace, but That was pretty much the campaign promise, at least of most Republicans, the vast majority of Republicans. So why is it so hard for them to do, if not an actual full repeal, pretty darn close to it?
Well, because a lot of them lie. And that's a sad truth that we are, you know, is now being brought home to us. And they love to tell us how complicated it is. And what that means is you're stupid, and I'm the smart senator, and you don't know what you're talking about, so you should just adopt my soft, unprincipled position that, oh, by the way, is not what I campaigned on. And it's demeaning to the American people. It's patronizing. It's elitist. And it's a lie. And every single one of them, as you said, has campaigned on this. Some of them several times have campaigned on undoing Obamacare. And they didn't say we're going to undo parts of it. They didn't say this is complicated and I'm going to simplify it. They said they were going to repeal it. There was a good article by one of the Fox contributors a little while ago about simply doing what you say you're going to do. Will some people not like it? Yes, some people will not like it. But you said it's what you were going to do. Look at Scott Walker's experience in Wisconsin. He said he was going to do something hard, difficult, and with many people unpopular, and that is to undo the union grip on Wisconsin government. He got elected, and he commenced doing it. And we saw the largest protest in a state capitol we have ever seen, 100,000 people. They physically shut the place down with their obstruction. And Scott Walker and the Republicans in the Wisconsin legislature soldiered on and did what they said they would do. And he faced a recall election, first time in Wisconsin history. And guess what? The people who had been largely silent, the people of Wisconsin, came back out and returned Scott Walker to office with essentially the same margin as his first election. And he got reelected again 3 years after that. And the moral of the story is, even when people disagree with you, they respect it when you keep your word, even when it's hard. I mean, this is something so basic. Every one of these senators' mothers and fathers told them this when they were growing up. It's amazing how when they join the elitist circles inside the Beltway that they forget these very basic lessons of life.
A couple quick questions before we let you go. Ken, first of all, President Trump, he has talked about the urgency of getting this done, but he hasn't gotten too much into the details other than to champion specific legislation once it gets introduced. What could he do differently or better to get the right kind of bill done here?
Well, one of the mistakes, and I'm sure they didn't realize it was a mistake at the time, is to turn this over to Paul Ryan from the White House. And what they got was a donor bill. You know, they did not get a repeal bill. And that's what the House leadership does. They caucus with donors. And it's essentially a special interest driven process. The White House needs to lay out the basics that actually repeal Obamacare. There are 24 or so major regulations that constitute what you and I call Obamacare. And the House bill would have gotten rid of about 1.5 of them. So that gives you an idea of how far they didn't go in repealing Obamacare. And they really got to measure it on those regulations, on getting rid of all those restrictions and requirements. And if they can accomplish that and get those thrown out, which they can in the reconciliation process, then they'll be moving on a path that can actually control health insurance costs for ordinary Americans, tens of millions of whom have seen their premiums go way up, not just up, but way up, quite contrary to the promises President Obama made. And that's the direction we have to go, is to get government out of health insurance and out of health care.
Let's talk about the 2018 midterms. We kind of started there. Let's finish there. Target-rich environment for the Republicans, given how many seats the Democrats have to defend. How is your recruitment going in order to find conservative candidates in some of those, in some cases, deep red states, Indiana, Missouri, Montana, and others, West Virginia, that could potentially flip to the other side?
Yeah, the prospects are very appealing in 2018. Of course, the environment is going to have a lot to do with the actual outcome. But I'm very encouraged at this stage. And we've got some great candidates already on the board, like Josh Mandel in Ohio. Here's a challenger. He's the state treasurer, spectacular conservative with a track record as treasurer of Ohio that's virtually unimpeachable, combat veteran, Marine. And he's polling even with the incumbent already, which is just extraordinary at this stage. It is just extraordinary, and he's doing a great job fundraising, good message, and very substantive and focused on accomplishment. We're really high on Josh Mandel in Ohio. And then, of course, you've got some other races going on, like Ted Cruz, of course, and wanting to make sure that he is safe from the establishment folks who want to take him out in a primary. And there are lots of good prospects. You name some states, West Virginia. If Patrick Morrissey got in there, that would be quite a race for conservatives, including the primary, where you've got a former Democrat as a masquerading as a Republican now, who's announced Jenkins. Missouri, if a conservative arose there, got some incumbents like Jeff Flake and Orrin Hatch, who really need a challenge. And deserve it, really. So there's a lot of opportunities for conservatives that we're really looking forward to seeing taken advantage of. And I'm excited about next year. The Senate Conservatives Fund is very excited about next year. And there are some House races. We do get into House races. They're obviously not the priority. We are the Senate Conservatives Fund. But we've been doing what we can to protect and bolster the House Freedom Caucus. And they're the only ones who got anything positive done in the Obamacare environment. You know, there are only about 35 or so of them, so there's only so much they can do. But even so, they managed to make a bad bill less bad. And, you know, to have people willing to do that is encouraging.
Ken, we'll stop there. Thank you so much for your time today. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Good to talk to you.
Thank you, sir. Former Virginia Attorney General Ken Cuccinelli, now president of the Senate Conservatives Fund. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.